You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
You're John Chespagon.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey guys, this is Kim. I just wanted to do a quick intro to this video since Shanti and I were so excited on our Skype call. We didn't really like introduce ourselves or give any much context. Not that that much was needed. It was a pretty fun conversation. And as you'll see, we got through a lot of material and a lot of history on how much we love Tom Petty. But we got introduced by a mutual friend, Rael. Shout outs to Rael. What a babe. Thank you for introducing us. She kind of learned inadvertently that we both really, really love Tom Petty, which is kind of, I mean, not every person that you come across loves Tom Petty or even could name a Tom Petty song. So to find someone like exactly my age who really loves Tom Petty as much as I do was quite a treat for me. So Shanti and I decided to jump on Skype and have a conversation about it after just being sort of friends on Facebook for a while and chatting here and there. We are going to eventually meet in person, which will be super fun. But yeah, we just wanted to have a conversation and chat so we could put it on each of our shows. Shanti has a podcast called Muses and Stuff, which is very unique, actually. I really love what the message that they're trying to send. Please go over and check out her stuff. And I also recently started a podcast and a YouTube channel with my friend Pasquale, and it's about music and songwriting. So yeah, hope you guys will check out both of our podcasts and have a listen, and we'll be chasing this episode up with way more stuff on Tom Petty on both of our channels. So this is our conversation on Skype from last Saturday night, and I hope you enjoy it.
Was because of the Traveling Wilburys, because my dad and my sister's first husband loved the Traveling Wilburys. They had this DVD that every time we had like a family gathering, we would all be just like hammered by the end of it, and they would put that DVD on at the end and like everyone would pass out, but they would watch that and they would be like dancing around the living room. And I just remember Petty was like the blonde one from that. And then it wasn't until like last year, I guess it was maybe when they put the documentary on Netflix, Something Amazing is Happening. I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's like, he's like, do you know who Tom Petty is? And I was like, sort of. And he was like, well, there's a documentary on Netflix. He's like, it's 4 hours long. I just started it. He's like, this guy is fucking hilarious. He, like, doesn't mean to be hilarious. Like, you know how he talks in the first, like, little, it's probably, like, the first 10 minutes or something. But he's like, you've got to, like, and I came home and we started watching it and I just died. And I think I watched it, like, every weekend, like, from start to finish for, like, the next 4 weeks. And I was like, there's something in this that just spoke to me. It was something about all of it, the whole story. And I think I spent probably 6 months just listening to Tom Petty. I didn't listen to a single other thing because there was like so much music to get through. I like was fascinated. I knew all of the songs that everybody knows of them, but I went through like from all of the early stuff. I went through, I think I probably started like with the bigger ones. I Googled like which ones are the most like well-known. So I started with like Down the Torpedoes and stuff like that. And then I went back and then I went all the way forward and listened to all the Mudcrutch stuff. And I read.
I like how you just went and started listening to Mudcrutch.
Well, the Mudcrutch.
By the way, I have to let you know. You said Tom Petty, and I hit record just in case.
That's fine. I was planning on covering that anyway.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I wanted to hear this. Like, I wanted to hear your Tom Petty story so badly. Because I've been refraining from asking you.
It will be better the first time I say it as well. Like, if I have to say it again, it won't be as good. But I listened back through to absolutely everything. And actually, I really love the Mudcrutch stuff. Like, the two albums that they put out in the last few years, I guess.
Yeah.
Crystal River. Who does stuff like that now? It's like 9 minutes long. This is what we haven't talked about this on my podcast yet, but we're going to, I think, when we interview Pasquale's producer. But there's something that I call floor me music, when a song comes on and you're just like, I could be a brain surgeon right now doing surgery, but I would have to put down my instruments and just lay on the floor and just be like, this song, like, I can't do a single other thing while this song, like, it just takes over you. And you can't, it, like, renders you, like, you have to just give yourself to the music. You just, like, floor me music. Like, so many times lately, songs have come on and I'm like, fuck, it's another one. Like, so, yeah, that Crystal River was one of those for me. And I'm just fascinated by their story. And when I was in, it's funny, like, when I was in Antigua, I read, I don't know if you've read this one, Conversations with Tom Petty. I don't know who it's by.
Is it the recent one that talks about his heroin addiction?
No, that one was by Warren Zanes. That one was just called Petty. I read that. That was the first one I read. I may have read one other one, but I found this one because I was particularly interested in his songwriting stuff because that's what I was interested in. So I was like, what other books can I read about Petty? It's fascinating.
Yeah, and this how on one of your episodes you mentioned how when, of course, he gets asked, like, where does it come from? And he's just like, I don't know, just like comes out of the sky. If I had the answer to that, then
he says I hesitate to try to understand it for fear that it will go away. And it's true. Like these things, like the one and then the one that I quoted, my own lyric, like, heavy feathers weigh me down on a bird beneath a crown. Like, there's some of the weird lines that have just come out of nowhere that I've been like, whoa. Like, and I've run to my notebook and write them down. I'm like, you don't know where it comes from. And the thing is, like, some people are like, oh, does a song, like, one of my buddies, I brought him to the songwriting workshop because I was like, you're going to love this. And he was just like confused. He's like, but, like, he just sees this. He thinks that people sit down to write a song and they write the whole song. It's like, no, I have two lines and they sound great and I'm just going to someday later come back to them and then it's going to keep going. Or if you get one line, you might think, okay, it's just one line, but you sit and you be with it and you think about it. Just for me, they just kept going after that. Like, whether it's in the moment, whether they keep going or whether I come back to it later to have a look and see if anything else comes. But it's very weird and a lot of other people have said the same thing that he says. Like, it's like there's this weird connection to something else, but nobody knows what the something else is.
I like the story with the song The Waiting, where he just had the dun 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 dun. There you go.
I love that story. He tells it so well. He's like,
over and over and over again. Yeah. People are probably in the next room going, shut up, or whatever.
Yeah.
I have to tell you a story that happened to me on Thursday night. Like, I have this whole long story. It was one thing after another on Thursday night, and the whole, like, story as a whole is incredible, but I'm just going to tell you this one snippet of the night. So I was at this venue called the Silver Dollar to see this guy named Julian Barbagallo. I think that's how you pronounce it, but he's the drummer in Tame Impala, and he has his own thing going on, and it was great. I went on I bought the tickets on a complete whim.
Yeah.
Not knowing what to expect at all. It was all French. It was amazing. Okay. There was him on drums singing, this amazing, beautiful woman on bass, this guy on, like, synth keys, and then a guy on the acoustic guitar. And it just worked. It worked. Wow. But we were outside. We were just, like, outside having an air break. And I'm with my friend, and we're just chatting, and then we hear this group of people just kind of towards the door, and the one guy's going, Who needs 4 discs of Tom Petty? Who needs 4 hours? And then my friend goes, did you hear what he just... And I'm already taken off.
Yeah, like, gone.
I crash into the circle and I'm like, I'll tell you who needs 4 hours of Tom Petty and Running Down in Dream.
All his friends...
Pardon?
40 years. Like...
So all of his friends look at me and they're like, ooh, like, yeah, what's she gonna say? And so I start talking, and then the guy gets, like, really big and, like, oh, like, tall.
Like, one of those Japanese owls?
And he does not let me talk. He's just like, what are you gonna need 4 hours of Tom Petty for? Like, that guy doesn't even do-do-do. And I don't even, he was just, like, talking at me, so I just was taking, like, a deep breath, waiting for him to just, like, I was gonna let him say what he needed to say, and then I was gonna come at him, right?
Yeah.
Because now that I was there, I was just like, okay, what does he have to say? So I'm just, like, looking at his friends, and then so when I started, like, well, he starts cutting me off again, and then so I'm just, like, I look at his friends, I'm like... such a good thing that, you know, I do yoga, because otherwise I would have completely lost my shit on your friend already. And I was like, there's no convincing him. He's still talking. He's still talking over me, not even giving me a second. So I was like, you know what? It's not worth it. Because
you
approached it as a joke, like, it's like, I'll tell you, and then I was, like, ready to, like, give them a good spiel, you know, about, like, people like us, mm-hmm. you know, these, like, amazing babes who have great taste in music, who have followed this band.
How do you think he would feel if he knew that he had, like, inspired people our age?
Like his body of work, people who watch it over and over. You know what? Give me 6 discs.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about?
A million times over and over again. But the guy wasn't letting me talk at all. So I just, like, looked at his friends and I was just like, I gotta go. Like, I can't be involved in this if I'm not allowed to speak. So yeah. I just, like, and by that point I was getting a bit, like, frustrated. So I just left, went back to my friend. And then, like, a few minutes later, the friends from the group, not including this guy, came over to me and they were like, let's continue this conversation. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'm like, obviously he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I really figured out, like, my dedication to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers that night, because I was just like, what? Like, I didn't even think about it.
It wasn't even a thought. It wasn't even a thought.
But, I mean, you were there with me. Like, I mean,
you were
in my mind for sure.
I understand it, because, like, when I went back home in October, I bought my dad the DVD, like, of that, and gave it to him, and I, like, my brother was getting married, but we had, like, all the morning to kill of the wedding. We had to get dressed up and have our photos taken, and then we had, like, 2 hours until the ceremony, so we're all, like, dressed up with nowhere to go. I was like, Dad, we're gonna put on the documentary, it's gonna be great. So, like, me and my brother-in-law and my dad, and we were, like, sitting there watching it, and it's just, sometimes I find it sad when you have to try to, like, oh, like, watch this bit, like, stop talking, and, like, people just don't appreciate, like, they don't understand, and I hate trying to push it on people, but, yeah, that's why I'm, like, so glad I finally found somebody that actually understands.
Oh, yeah, this is, I can't wait to watch it with you.
So I've
been watching it, like, since, I've been watching it since it came out. So when I was in university, I would, I have, in the past, if a guy wanted to go home with me, and, like, I wasn't sure, or if I wanted him to come with me, or whatever, I'd be like, pardon me?
Is it a test that they do?
No, not exactly. Oh, I have tested people. On knowing the names of the members of the Traveling Wilburys.
Okay.
I was like, if you can name all 5 members, then yes, I will marry you.
I just can never remember that other guy.
Jeff Lynne?
Wait, which one?
Jeff Lynne.
Jeff Lynne.
From Yellow, and he produced a bunch of Petty stuff. So,
yeah.
Roy Orbison, George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne.
He's just not, like, he's just really not on the level of the other guys. Like, I know he's very talented as well, but he's just, his profile just wasn't the same as the other guys, you know?
So yeah, I guess it depends on who you talk to. Yeah, like, I. A taking guys home, being like, do you want to go watch Running Down a Dream? And then by the second disc, they're like, so is this gonna, like, are we, is something gonna happen here? And I was like, no, we're actually just gonna watch the rest of this documentary.
Nice.
And so sometimes they'd stay and watch, and they'd be like, I gotta go, or like, I gotta leave in town,
just,
whatever.
I should appreciate, like, so I don't know if the fan people don't appreciate it.
You want to hear my Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers story, like how I started listening to them?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and you said that you came, like, you really started becoming a fan when you saw Running Down a Dream?
Yeah, because I like, just knew of them. I knew, like, American Girl, and I knew a bunch of their songs,
right.
But and I knew of, like, him being in the Traveling Wilburys, but I didn't really know much about the band. And, like, he'd Breakdown, like, sometime before that, and I remember hearing Breakdown and being like, this song is really good. And he's like, yeah, it's Tom Petty and Heartbreakers. And I was just like, I mean, I don't really know them, but it's a good song. And then after the documentary, I had to connect with the story and then the music.
Yeah, for sure. I like when people call them Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, because Tom Petty is, yeah, like, he's got a couple of amazing solo albums for sure. Like, Wildflowers is one of my favorite. Full Moon Fever is great. But, like, it's Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and those guys have been around for the 41 years that the Heartbreakers have. But I was reflecting on when I first heard Tom Petty for the first time ever in my life, and I can remember, like, the day, the time, the location when I heard Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers for the first time, and then I kind of went into a bit of a, like, onion layer unpeeling.
Exactly like I did, yeah.
So essentially, I was at my house in where I lived, called Naughton, and I was with my dad and my brother and my cousin. So I was almost 6 years old. I was a month away from turning six, or I was six, because Mary Jane's Last Dance and Tom Petty's Greatest and the Heartbreakers' Greatest Hits came out in 1993, December 1993. So possibly when I heard it, it might have been January, it might have been December, but it was either 93 or 94, which would have made me five or six.
Okay.
And yeah, so my brother was a couple years older than me. My older cousin was like probably 12. And then my dad was in his 30s, like in his young 30s. He was like 33. Which is really interesting, because I was surrounded by, like, all of these men at, like, different ages. And I always kind of had a bit of a crush on my cousin, as you do when you're, like, 5 and 6 years old, when you're, like, you're not my brother, so, like, but you're a boy who's around a lot that's really cute, but, like, I know that you're my family, so it's just, like, oh, nothing crazy. And then, like, my dad, who at that time is now the age of, like, men that I date. Really? Like, it's just kind of interesting. And so the song that I heard, it was on the radio, was Mary Jane's Last Dance. And the lyrics in particular that I remember just going, like having some feelings for, looking down, looking down from the hotel room, nightfall will be coming soon. Oh,
yeah.
my, oh, hell yes. You got to put on that party dress. And then, like, you know, she's standing in her underwear. Oh, yeah, looking down from the hotel room. So, yeah, like, those kind of, like, images, those kind of, like, lyrics, the way that the song is kind of sexy, like, hearing it with, like those guys and singing it with them, like, having them sing it to me, like, you know, but it was just, like, innocent, like, it's on the radio. We all love Tom Petty. That was the first time I heard Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't really, like, from then on, I wasn't, like, a diehard fan being like, put on Tom Petty. Like, no. But, like, I'm sure that my dad, like, listened to that album and might have been on, and I'm sure I heard other songs from that. But then it wasn't until I was in university again when I started collecting records and, you know, I started getting the oldies. I wanted like the Led Zeppelin and Joni Mitchell, and then some Tom Petty came in there, and then I kind of rediscovered my love for Petty. So I was super into the Stones and kind of obsessed with them for a little while and obsessed with Tom Petty. But even though like I really like the Rolling Stones, like I don't like their body of work and I don't love their body of work, and I don't feel a connection to that as I do with like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And
it's kind of rare to like for people our age to really like them. That's what I find interesting.
Yeah,
like it sounds like we're roughly the same age. I was in 93 or 94. I was like starting primary school, so I was like 6.
Yeah,
and yeah, I'm sure that my parents played it as well when I was younger, but I didn't even like. I can't say that I liked rock music until I had to go through that Petty phase, and it was a hardcore phase. I literally didn't listen to anything else for 6 months straight.
Yeah,
because I went through and I fell in love. Like, I actually have the record of Long After Dark? No. The one that's got the other one with a red cover that's got Change of Heart. It's got, what is it? It's like literally in my room.
I don't listen to that one as...
Forget it, wait.
Yeah. I have it. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Look, on my phone right here too.
Yeah.
That's a nice cover. So yeah, the hit or single or whatever is You Got Lucky.
You Got Lucky. Yeah, that's gonna be going on the episode that we do when we talk about, I'm not sure what the number is yet, but X reasons why Tom Petty is badass. I mean, like, just look at that face.
Oh, I love his face so much. I love his face so much.
Yeah, but like, yeah, all the stuff.
I love all of them. Like, let's look at the back of that. Let's look at the back of that for a second. Let's look at all of their faces. Oh.
Howie's
there. Look at Benmont.
Look at Mike.
Mike's facial expression is amazing.
Yeah, like, I this one I particularly like, connected with quite well. I really like Hard Promises a lot.
Oh,
like,
Hard Promises is great.
But, you know, we were talking about the thing with Stevie Nicks. Like, I from what I can glean from what I've, without looking into it, just from the different various media that I've seen, I've got her book on my Kindle that I want to read. But I think it was all very one-sided from Stevie's side. I think he enjoyed singing with her and I think he thought she was great, but I just don't think he returned the same feelings she did.
Wow.
That's my...
I think you might be right. I'm embarrassed that I didn't know that Stevie Nicks has a book.
Yeah, and she has a documentary too.
I'm gonna look into that immediately. I have so many books that I have on the go right now, which is not a bad thing. But
same.
I've been actually tonight going back and forth between the Bhagavad Gita and the Sex Girl. So like, just
the book that I have, yeah, Stevie Nicks. I don't think it's new though. Visions, Dreams, and it's like trying to load itself. I think it might be an older book, but.
I'm going to have a woman on the podcast who I'm pretty sure did some, like, psychic readings for Stevie Nicks. She was, she's, like, a psychic reader to celebrities and has all of
she
her
was on your show?
Stories. She's going to come on my show, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
When?
Probably in April.
Amazing.
We're, like, booked up all this month, so I think we'll schedule her sometime in April.
That's amazing.
But it's hard to choose a favorite Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers album. Like, somebody asked me that on a podcast. But, I mean, I feel like we could go through every single album, which we probably should. Like, not tonight, but I think we should probably get together and look through every single one and be like, oh, yep, amazing. So, like, even his first one, 1976, Rockin' Around With You, Breakdown, anything that's rock and roll, Fool Again, Mystery Man, Luna, American Girl...
I love Magnolia. Magnolia's on that one, right?
Oh, yeah. That one's so good.
That song just, like, got me.
It's not on that one, though.
Oh, it's on the second one, then? It's on the second one.
It's on You're Gonna Get It.
Yeah.
Which is also a great album. You're gonna get it. You're gonna get it, baby.
I really loved the first two albums a lot. I didn't listen to them straight away. I don't think I did it in chronological order, but once I got through Damn the Torpedoes and Hard Promises, I was like, okay, I need to go back to the beginning and, like, just get in there. And then I didn't like the one from the 80s.
Echo?
Like, nobody likes that one.
Echo?
Not Echo. Let me open my Spotify. No, it's the one that's...
Southern Accents?
Do 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 do.
She's like, just because I love Tom Petty so much and I've got pictures of him everywhere and I think about him a lot, I still don't know, like, by heart every single song of every single record.
Song that I was just singing this tune to is You're Jamming Me. So the album that has that on it, that has the multicolored...
Jamming Me.
Yeah, and, like, he talks about it in the documentary. He's like, we really weren't feeling that album. Like, we shouldn't have done it. It was shit. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you can tell. But, you know, Southern Accents isn't on Spotify, and that's where I've been listening to... everything for some reason, just whoever, like, published, whoever was the publisher
just,
of that,
like,
one.
Just, like, have them all.
Yeah.
Apple Music. And then I have them on vinyl. But,
yeah.
Yeah, and then I like some of his, like, old, like, some of his stuff that's just sort of, like, the older stuff, not older stuff, but I don't even know, because he's, like, the stuff that he's doing now is new, but it's older compared to the first one. But, you know, there's that one song that he has called Swingin'. And she went down.
I need to find my list. Like, where is it, though? Hang on, I think it might be on my podcast. Okay. Swingin' is one of my... Like, yeah, the story that he tells in that song is, like, amazing.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're gonna get it. You're gonna get it, baby. You're gonna get it.
Where do I put it? Like,
do you have a shrine or anything? Do you have pictures up? Do you, like...
Yeah, that's what I said. I sent you a photo. I thought I sent you a photo. I have the when I joined the fan. I joined the fan club so I could try to get good tickets when they're coming to Canada. And then somehow I managed to get like a poster sent out. I don't know if I bought. I can't remember if I bought it or if I like actually got it for free. But it's like a big poster of them like now. So like, what's his name? You know the guy that's in the band now. That's like. He plays, like, every instrument, and he's, like, got the cutest face, like, what's his name? Scott? Scott Thurston?
No, don't know.
Okay, he's in the band now, and, like, I seriously don't know. So I know that my songs were, I think I said that my favourite album was Wildflowers. I have so many lists everywhere.
But can you consider, that'll be your favourite Tom Petty album, because that's not a Heartbreakers album.
Okay, so my favorite Heartbreakers album would be Hard Promises.
Oh, okay.
Because I mean, Down the Torpedoes. Like, if I had a gun to my head, I would obviously say Down the Torpedoes. But Hard Promises.
It's almost like if you tell people that you're a Tom Petty fan, and then you tell them that Down the Torpedoes is your favorite album, they're kind of like, really?
Hey, you're not a real Tom Petty
so
fan.
So cliche.
I really like. I guess I like the second album and I like Hard Promises. And, yeah, for Petty's, like, solo stuff, Wildflowers, because it's the same thing. If you know that Petty has solo work,
you said,
Wait, is your favorite? You're failing the same test.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like Swingin'. I like, I do like some of the stuff on, Into the Great Wide Open. Like, I didn't like it at first, but then I was like, some of that guitar, like, wah-wah, like, I do like that stuff.
And have you listened to Full Moon Fever?
Yeah, I've definitely listened to Full Moon Fever. That's probably the one that I had heard most songs off from being a non-Petty fan before, like, just a regular person.
I used to have a tape of it when I used to drive to high school in grade 12. That's what I listened to every day on the way to and from school. But I haven't listened to it in a very long time, and tomorrow is the full moon, my dear. So
oh my God.
You should probably listen to Full Moon Fever. I'm going to send you some special things to do for tomorrow night, and we'll have our full moon ceremony. And so for people who are listening to this, which for me is going to, I think, become a mini episode, they can do the full moon ritual as well. And what it is, it's just like a cleansing, because when it's the full moon, we're getting into this like really, really high energy, and then we're going to release a whole bunch of stuff. You can like write anything down that you want to sort of get rid of, or anything that you're finished with, and then you burn it. Go outside, just burn it. And then you can do a smudge or anything like that. Like safely burn it. I've done it before. Just like, a little piece of paper. Just be safe about it, and just release a whole bunch of stuff. And then when the new moon comes along, then that's the time for a whole bunch of manifestation and things like that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about moons, it kind of leads into the song that I think, if I had to choose one, would be my favorite, is Casadega.
I can't think of it at the top of my head. I mean,
yeah.
I just have to, I'll go listen to it after.
This is such a good burn.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the festival was me.
I'm glad we got to share our Heartbreaker stories.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.